I'm Mary Engish, and you're Charlie Nardozzi. Hello.
Hello, I am.
It's time to plant garlic and shallots, so what do we need to know?
Sure, we've been waiting, and I've been encouraging people to wait because it's been so warm this fall, but now is the time to plant them. When the soil temperatures start dipping below 50 degrees, and the days are so short now, it's important to get them in the ground at least 3 to 4 weeks before the ground freezes. So that's why we're going to be planting now. If you're planting garlic, you got three different options. You've got the hard-neck garlic, which forms those scapes you're probably very familiar with. You've got soft-neck garlic, which has very supple leaves, which is great for braiding. And actually, the soft-neck garlic last longer in storage than the hardneck garlic. So if you really want to get them all the way through the season. And then you have the option of an elephant garlic. An elephant garlic is this huge bulb, that's why it's called elephant garlic, that's a cross between garlic and leeks. So it has a milder flavor to it. Big cloves on it, but it doesn't have that strong, pungent garlic flavor, more mild. Not as long-lasting in storage, but still a nice one to grow. So look for some local varieties or named varieties. Don't just buy them from the grocery store, because those tend to come from California, wouldn't be good here. For hardnecks, you can get Romanian red and German extra hardy. For softnecks, there's New York white and Enchilium red are some of the varieties you grow. The thing to do as far as planting them is that you want to create a raised bed. Compost amended soil is really good. The only time I've had garlic not come back for me is if I put it in the ground with clay soil and it rotted in the winter. So good drainage is really important. And then you're going to break up the bulbs of your garlic into cloves the night before you're going to plant. And just leave them out on the counter. And that will help the basal plate callus over, which will encourage it to root better. So then the next day you go out there, plant them 6 inches apart, 2 inches deep. Remember, each clove turns into a bulb that could have 6 to 8 cloves in them. So don't get too ambitious unless you really like garlic. Because if you put in 20 different cloves, you're going to get hundreds of cloves next year to eat. So you plant them in there. Once they're all planted, cover it over with grass clippings from untreated lawn, chopped up leaves, hay or straw, and just leave them all winter long. Then in the spring, once you start seeing them poke up a little bit, you can remove all that material. You can give them some fertilizer, weed them, water them, and by early summer, you'll be harvesting. Now, if the weather turns warm again and stays warm into November, you might see them germinating and starting growing this time of year as well. Don't worry about it. As long as you can just cover them over with more organic materials, they'll be okay.
Okay. Wow. All right. Question time. This first one is from Betty, and Betty writes, can my potted porch begonias, which have grown huge, be cut back when brought inside to grow again next year? I had good luck last year repotting them, but I didn't cut anything back. They just all eventually died back and then regrew in the spring.
Yes. So not quite sure which begonia she has, but if it's either the wax leaf begonia or the angel wing or the Rex begonia, any of those, we treated the same way. If it's really big and doing really well, go ahead, cut it way back if you want to do that. The nice thing about that, Betty, is also you can take those cuttings that you made and you can root them so you can get new plants. And that might be a nice way, if you have a really big begonia, to not have to bring the whole plant back in, but just take cuttings, root those, and then leave those in a windowsill or a sunny area all winter long to grow and then have them to bring back out next year. But certainly, yes, you can cut them back. They'll regrow from the new growth.
Begonia palooza. This next one comes from Mark in Chester, and Mark writes, what is the invasive ivy that's strangling plants in my yard and trees throughout New England and New York State? And why is no one talking about it? Is there a more efficient way to get rid of it other than just pulling it up?
Well, I'm not quite sure exactly what this invasive vine is you're seeing there. There's a number of the ones that you'll really start seeing a lot of this time of year. One is called the mile-a-minute vine. It's a persicaria called mile-a-minute because it grows very fast. It's an annual, but it grows so fast that by this time of year, you'll see them 20, 25 feet up in the air. That could be one of the vines that you're seeing that's out there. Another one would be the silver lace vine, which is a kind of an invasive plant that grows, again, very slowly until you get to this time of year. And it can really cover trees and really grow in big areas of a lot. And then there's some native plants that, if you're not so familiar with them, like a Virginia creeper and poison ivy, that are showing up and looking really beautiful because of their fall foliage color, the red color, so they stand out a lot more. They're going to be growing really strong this time of year. So depending upon which one it is, if it's something that's the annual vines that I'm talking, the mile-a-minute vine, for example, just pull it down and try to make sure it's not going to set seed, even though it probably already has, and try to get rid of it. And next year, cut it down as it's growing so it doesn't get so big.
Oh, wow. Okay. Send your questions to gardening@vermontpublic.org. Listen to this wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary. And I'll be seeing you in the garden.